Welcome to Stirring the Cauldron. Now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Merry meet everybody, and welcome once again to Stirring the Cauldron here on the Para-X Radio Network. Tonight's song was called Angel Symphony, and that's because my guest is author Belinda Womack, and we're going to be talking about her book, Lessons from the 12 Archangels, Divine Intervention in Daily Life. Belinda is a spiritual counselor who has been channeling angelic wisdom to support individuals, couples, and families for the past 25 years. It's her experience that calling on angels brings profound insight. They illuminate how the obstacles or heartaches we are experiencing today are connected to situations in our past, and says that we all have the power to change the past and receive the miracles available to us in the present. As always, if you have a question for Belinda, if you're in the Para-X chat room, please send me a message in private chat and I'll pass it on to her. And if you're not in chat, please join us at www.para-x.com. Welcome, Belinda.
It's wonderful to be here, Marla. Thanks for having me on your show tonight.
I think I've calmed everybody in the audience down with the opening song. So I think we've set the tone. Yeah. Well, you know, you've been actually working with angels since childhood, but the twist was, as an adult, you switched gears, you became a cell biologist, and you used your science-trained brain for cancer research. And then one morning, when you were working on an experiment, the Archangel Gabriel paid you a surprise visit, and that kind of changed your career and your life completely. Tell us about that.
Well, you did a very good job of
setting it up.
Yes, you did. So I was just doing my regular routine experiment in the sterile hood, working on a bone marrow sample, and I call it my out of laboratory experience, where I found myself in a stone room that was very ancient looking. I remember that it was a dirt floor. And this happened to me almost 25 years ago now. And then in the light in the ceiling, there wasn't actually a ceiling, but there was this ray of golden light, and there was Archangel Gabriel. And I could recognize the angel because the angel had a trumpet. So and beautiful colors and big wings, and spoke to me through my thoughts, right through my inner voice, and very loud and clear, and said, Belinda, we have new work for you to do. We need you to help humanity to rewrite the stories of their childhood. And I said, I remember this clearly, Marla. I said, you know, I don't have the qualifications for this job. This really sounds like you need to be a psychologist for this. And so, you know, I really tried to talk myself out of being called. And Gabriel said, well, you know, we're here and we're not going to go away, and you can try and resist us, but, you know, we're pretty sure that you will surrender. And I said, well, what do I need to learn to do this job? And Gabriel said, well, look to your left. And there was this enormous book, maybe 3 feet wide and a foot high. And I was like, wow, this is really intimidating. That is one very big book. The book opened up, and in the middle of the book was the word love in red, beautiful red fire letters. And I said, okay. Love is something I believe in, and that's something that I'm willing to learn more about, and that's something that I truly believe I'm here to do, is to love. So that was my first meeting, and that was with Archangel Gabriel. And then my second angel that I met was the Archangel Michael. And then eventually I met the group of the angels that I work with, which are the 12 archangels of the central sun. And their number is symbolic. They represent a cycle. And just like the 12 hours on a clock face, or the 12 months of the year, or the 12 signs of the zodiac, you know, we human beings, we are always evolving. and we are going through our cycles of learning. And what are we here to learn? We're here to learn how to love ourselves unconditionally and how to accept ourselves unconditionally so that we can be kinder, of course, and more loving to others.
Mm-hmm. And that's not an easy task. I mean, as far as loving ourselves and you know, that we can give it, but it's kind of hard to give it to ourselves. You know, there may be people that are listening that don't know a whole lot about angels. And so I did a little homework. I always do homework. I was so glad to get out of school, but I do it now and I do it gladly. And this is really strange because I could have been really smart in school if I applied myself then. But, I looked at, you know, there are many types of angels, and in the Christian hierarchy of angels, I mean, the first sphere is the seraphim, I never say it right, and they are the highest angelic class, serve as the caretakers of God's throne, and then second sphere are the ones that work as heavenly governors of creation by kind of subjecting matter and guiding and ruling spirits. And then comes the third sphere, and there goes the dog in the background, sorry. the third sphere where archangels can be found there, and these are the ones who function as heavenly guides, protectors, and messengers to human beings. And so, I mean, that's kind of what you get. And then following them are regular angels, for lack of a better word, and they're the lowest order, but the most recognized, and the, you know, they're the ones that are most concerned with the affairs of living things. So, I mean, okay, so it's categorized in that way, but I'm guessing that what I just said was basic angel 101, and there are way more types than we know about, aren't there?
Well, Marla, according to the 12 archangels of the central sun, they don't support hierarchy for a very important reason. They say, you know what? We all come from oneness. And it's what our human egos love to do is we love to separate things. Mm-hmm. We love to make hierarchies so that some of us are better than others, or some of us are more intelligent than others or more beautiful than others. And the angels want to teach us that truly we're all made of God's energy. We all come from the heart of our Creator. So yes, it's true. Different angelic energies have different job assignments. They're not going to disagree with that. But mm-hmm. they prefer, instead of us looking at things as a hierarchy that some angels are higher or more powerful than others, they say, you know what? The greatest power is the power of love. So truly, human beings have access all the time to the same power of the most highest angels, or the fairies, the archangels, the guardian angels. So yes, it's true. There are many, many different flavors of angels. They like to talk mm-hmm. about themselves as instruments in an orchestra. Right? That what you want, right, is you want that magnificent music, and that angels really do work with sound, which they mm-hmm. say is the divine feminine energy, as mm-hmm. well as the light. And so when we need more angels, it's just like raising the volume, and that's how they expand to help us. So they just want us to remember that, yes, of course, there are a multitude of different flavors of angels that have different assignments that can all merge together and flow together. Really, we are all one, and human beings are not less than an angel. We are God's divine children, and we are very loved, and we are very, very appreciated for all of the really hard work that we're asked to do in each incarnation here on Schoolroom Earth.
Mm-hmm. Now, I just spoke of the Christian hierarchy, and you often speak in the book of God about God. Now, are you speaking of the God that is specific to Christianity, as in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or are you referring to God in the generic sense as a supreme being? Because, like many of my listeners are pagan, some don't worship the Holy Trinity, but absolutely believe in a supreme being and angels and archangels. And I was interested in looking to find out that angels are important figures in a great many other religions, like Judaism, Islam, Zoroastrianism, I get that's a hard word, Sikhism, and in a way, Buddhists and Hindus. So it's amazing that almost every religion on earth believes in angels in some form or another, and it's hard for me to hear people say that they don't believe in them. What do you tell the naysayers? And I guess that was a two-part question.
So first of all, angels come from the heart of the Creator. So it's not the Creator based in or limited, I really want to say limited, by any human religion or philosophy. So if we can open our hearts and our minds to believe in oneness, in one universe or one great cosmos, and one loving, benevolent energy that we all come from, whom Belinda calls Mother, Father, God, or the Creator, Divine Source, Source, the universe. It all means the same thing. And this is the energy where angels come from. And this is the energy where human beings come from, and where stars and planets and tadpoles come from. So we're all in this wonderful, you know, cosmic soup together. But here on Earth, you know, we are here to learn how to choose love. And this is our, you know, this is our purpose. So I apologize. I can't remember the second question that you...
What do you say to the naysayers who don't believe that there are such things as angels?
Well, so the way the angels respond to that question is they love to prove that they are real through experience, through tangible results. They say that, you know, our Creator, Mother, Father, God, created our brains so that we have a part of us that is, which we call ego. It has the hindrances, right? It has the doubting mind. It has the comparing mind. It has the wanting mind and the judging mind. So if we think of that part of us that naturally doubts, hey, is the supernatural, is it real? If I can't prove it, if I can't hold on to it, if it's not tangible, how can I really believe in it? And angels say, well, let us prove to you that we're real through the results that you experience when you call on our help. Because guess what, humanity? You need our help. You deserve our help. And we human beings, we can have a tough time asking for help because, you know, we can get, you know, beat up for that in childhood or through our lives, and we can learn that asking for help is not necessarily a safe thing to do. But asking for angels to help us, and we begin to experience that divine intervention and those miracles, then it's like, wow, you know, I can't deny this. And so that's what I say to the naysayers. That's fine if you don't believe. Just try it and see what happens. I think you'll be surprised.
There are those that don't believe in God. There are those that don't believe in angels, so they won't be asking for help. And I think, unfortunately, they're never going to find out, because if you don't ask, you don't receive.
But that is their right to do that here
on
planet Earth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just, it's sometimes difficult when you know you have a belief system and other people just completely shut off. Nope, there's no God, blah, blah, blah. And then there are the people that do ask for help. And I'm sure you've come across this before. They do ask for help. They do pray to God. They do pray to the angels fervently, usually when it's a desperate time. And then the results that they're asking for don't happen. And then they lose faith. And this is an important topic, because losing faith is, I think, possibly the reason they don't get what they ask for, is because they may get it in a different form, or this isn't the time for them to get it or whatever. But then can you bring them back? Can you, you know, let them understand that? A lot of people miss all that stuff. What do you think?
Well, the way that the angels speak about this topic is they say, look, you know, your Creator, Mother, Father, God, is all loving. And when you ask for something, you're going to receive what you ask for or something even better. But Mother, Father, God is a very loving parent. And we human beings, you know, we can't always see exactly what we need. We may believe with our ego that we're ready to receive something. And the way the angels describe this is that if you can imagine this loving parent and you've said, you know, I really want this, you know, Harley Davidson, and I want to take it out on the highway, and you're only at about 2 years old and you don't know how to use a tricycle yet. Is that loving parent going to give you that Harley Davidson, even though it looks really cool and it's going to move really fast? The answer is no. What we're going to receive is what we are ready to receive. So the way that we work with angels and spirit, and we can do this in a number of different ways, as I'm sure you know, but first of all, it's to say, okay, I surrender the will of my ego to the will of my soul, which is our own higher self, and this is what I believe that I need and that I desire, but I surrender it, and I trust, even though I don't want to trust, that what I will receive, what I will experience is going to be either exactly what I asked for or something even better. And through experience and as we mature when working with our faith, our intentions, our prayers, you know, God proves that God is real over and over and over and over, and that our prayers are answered. It's just proof. And that's why I think I was called by the angels, because I'm a scientist and I really believe in proof. And so I can't say that enough, that yes, we can all go through the dark night of the soul. We can all feel like our faith is being tested or that we've lost our faith. But you know, hindsight, even through prayer, is 20/20. I just ask for people to think about how many times we've asked Source for something and we didn't get it, and we were like, oh, thank God that I didn't get that, and thank God I got something even better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that does happen frequently, but just a lot of people, if they don't get something, they shut down. They don't see that maybe they missed out on something they shouldn't have had, or, you know, that would have been bad for them. And that I just hear so many people that lose faith in prayer, in the higher beings and everything, because they don't see. They just know that they don't get. And that's kind of a tough one to tackle sometimes.
Well, and I hear what you're saying, and the message that the angels give to anyone who may be listening that says that, hey, but I asked and I didn't receive, the way that this planet works, schoolroom Earth, is that you do receive what you have asked for, but it also has to be what is for the greatest good of all concern. So if you've asked for something that is not for your greatest good, or it is not for the greatest good of all concern, but you can't see that, then that divine law, it is always working, and it is always going to be, you know, protecting us. And another thing that the angels want to say is that even though sometimes we say, well, I'm not sure if God is listening, you know, and maybe I'll just hang up my spirituality on the wall and forget about it. You know, there's this beautiful divine child within us that never gives up our faith, that always believes in miracles. And so it's amazing, even when the ego says, I'm not going to believe in God, you know, I'm going to just think it's a bunch of bunk, there's that beautiful child within each of us that is still asking, that is still believing. And so miracles happen even when we throw our spirituality down the river. Miracles still happen for us.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking up the 12 archangels, and the first site I found actually had 15 listed. Another had 13 listed, and yet another said there were 7. And so now you've been talking about the 12 angel kingdoms of the central sun. So can we kind of straighten that out? I mean, are there more than 12 and you're just writing about the 12 in the kingdoms of the central sun?
Well, the number is a metaphor, and okay. It represents a cycle, and it represents a cycle of change. It is the circle, the Alpha and Omega, that truly has no beginning and has no end. So that is why the 12 archangel kingdoms talk about they are the mentors of Schoolroom Earth, because we are here as we evolve to learn how to choose love. And so we go through many incarnations, and we go through these, you know, signs of the zodiac, and we go through the cycles of our lives, you know, the 12 grades, 12 again, 12 hours on the clock face, 12 months of the year. So that's why they refer to themselves as the 12 archangel kingdoms. So sure, you could have read about 15 archangel kingdoms that could connect to an older knowledge or teaching about the 15 different rays. The number seven is the number of transformation and change, and that seven, you know, that God created our world in 7 days. Mm-hmm. But each of those numbers are symbolic. And even the number 13, which is the number of ascension, 12 is the number of resurrection. So, you know, again, Marla, it's important to not get kind of lost in the details, and just to understand that there are a lot of archangels, and they all work together, and they also are the same as the planets that guide our astrology. So, for example, Archangel Gabriel is the same as the planet Mercury, and mm-hmm. and Saturn is the same as Archangel Michael. So, you know, they are teaching us, they're helping us here on Schoolroom Earth to evolve. That is their purpose, and that is their mission. And to be completely honest with you, they're perfectly happy with, if you want to think that there's 7 or 13 or 15 or 144, it's however big you need that orchestra to be. How much energy of these angels do you need? And their number can multiply and grow, because that's their mission, is to help us to grow in love and to grow in our purpose and to grow in the sense that we let that ego come home to heart and soul.
Mm-hmm. Now, the book is referred to as a powerful guide to opening our lives to the wisdom and healing of the angels. And it says that each of us has the ability to communicate with them if we open our minds to their teachings. Now, the first question that anyone is probably going to ask someone who's never called upon them before will probably be, I've never attempted that before, so which one should I call upon, and how do I go about doing that?
So the basic scope here is that the 12 archangels are guiding us as far as our kind of our mission, our soul mission. What are we here to do? What is our service work about? And then we have many guardian angels that are helping us in our daily lives and helping us to, you know, really to feel loved and safe and secure. That's what guardian angels love to do. So the whole thing really is to come as a little child, and that if we can just close our eyes and imagine that we walk through a purple door, a beautiful, beautiful purple door, that purple door takes us from the logical, rational hemisphere of our brain into the creative, spiritual, imaginative part of our brain. And once we're in through that purple door, and we can just visualize that beautiful emerald green meadow, which is our heart chakra, it's also heaven, the vibration of heaven, and see that little child that lives within our hearts. That little child will always show up. If we can't see, that's fine. That's not a problem. We just hold that intention and we can feel. And we can feel that little child that lives within us. And then we can ask to meet not only our guardian angels, but there's an exercise in the lessons from the 12 archangels on how to see and experience and feel all of the 12 archangels. So, but we have to get in the right vibration. That's where I'm going. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it's all about. And it's not complicated. We can do that with our intention, and we can do that. Simply, we have to shift from that logical, rational part of ourselves into the more open, fluid, intuitive, spiritual part of our brains.
So it's like a self-guided meditation in a sense.
Sure. And it always works. And I talk a little bit about this in the preface of the lessons from the 12 archangels, that when I have the opportunity to work with little children, you know, not necessarily the child within us, but real human little children, and I ask them to, you know, close their eyes and walk through the purple door, they can see their angels so fast and tell me their names and how they help them and what they do. And I've even, you know, experienced children being able to pick up the names and the qualities of the grown-ups in the room of their guardian angels. And that's because they're open. That's because they're open. So it does help. It helps tremendously to connect again with that little child that is all believing in love that we never lose. We actually, you know, no matter how shut down we might become, we can still find that innocent part within us that says, yeah, I can take you to your angels if you're ready. I can do that.
Okay. I think I was kind of comparing it to when we call down our spirit guides. And I always say that we have one, and you might refer to that as an angel. I mean, they, as you said, it's probably all mixed up together. But when we call for a spirit guide, we sometimes call for a specialist, you know, kind of like medicine. You know, you need a cardiologist, you need a gynecologist, whatever. Spirit guide, you need somebody who can take care of money situations or something. So that's kind of why I was saying, how would people know which angel to call? Because I was going on that basis. And then as you were talking, I thought, well, perhaps if we get to that point, the door opens, the angels are there, perhaps they already know what we need and the right one shows up.
Exactly, Marla. Okay. That's exactly the way it works. With angels, they already know. And they work together with all of, they call them our helpers in heaven. And heaven is a vibration where there's only love, there is no fear. And they work with all of our spirit guides and all of those experts. So whether we need the help of, so for example, an ascended master, or we need the help from Steve Jobs, who's in heaven and totally ready to help us, whomever we need to connect with, you know, our angels will bring those guides together to help us. And so they are just wonderful, benevolent, loving forces that, of course, they are part of our spirit guides. They all work together. I just like to call it the committee.
That's it. What is the most important thing that people should know about communicating with angels?
That they cannot be manipulated. They cannot. You will never work one to try to. You know, you can ask, but an angel must obey the divine laws, which means that they can only assist through what has to work for the greatest good of all concern, and they only work with the power of love, which is the greatest power. So I would say that's the kind of the primary message here.
Okay. Now, you talk about the alchemy of transforming the past and reclaiming the power locked within the non-conscious works to kind of heal our bodies and our relationships. And it's the same alchemical process that supports us in creating and manifesting what we desire to experience in all areas of everyday life. How do the archangels come into play with that? They assist it, they make it happen, they kind of put us on the right path and kick us off if we're going, you know, cattywampus or what?
So the whole way that our lessons are orchestrated here on Schoolroom Earth is for us, again, to bring love in where love has been missing. And what the angels teach is that we human beings, we are like big, juicy Vidalia onions. We have a lot of layers, and a lot of those layers are caught in the subconscious. And that when we, first of all, we create our reality with our beliefs and with our feelings and with our memories. So when those beliefs and feelings and thoughts and memories are loaded with fear and sorrow and loss and resentment, then that becomes very heavy, and that makes it very difficult for us to bring in that love, which is what's going to allow us to manifest more heaven in our everyday lives. And heaven is just, it's just a word for abundance, right? It just means that prosperity, loving relationships, good health, all those things that we really desire as human beings. So we get to work with the energy of our chakras. And these are batteries of spiritual energy. Our Creator gave us these batteries of amazing energy that we get to use all the time. And so when we work with the one that's at the top of our head, the crown chakra, which is filled with violet fire or violet energy, it's the energy of forgiveness and forgiveness of our human self and of other humans and of our experiences is incredibly alchemical. It is the strongest, greatest alchemical power that we human beings have is actually to forgive. And that's to forgive deep, deep down into the, you know, into our DNA. And so when we visualize that color purple, that violet fire, and we hold the intention, I don't want to keep repeating my past. I'm done with it. Whether it's from past life or from my childhood or wherever it comes from, you know, I want to be free and I want to expand and I want to experience, truly I want to experience more heaven and heaven's abundance and healing. Then as soon as we have that intention, the 12 archangels together with many angelic kingdoms and all of our guardian angels, they add their violet fire to ours. And so it's like we call on the crown chakra of our entire Creator. And that's where angels can really help us, is when we are focused on using that energy that is part of us to do this deep transformation work, to do that, you know, they call it shamanic work, to change what causes us to die and to make it into what's going to allow us to live. They add their energy to our energy, and it just facilitates that change, that positive change to happen far faster. And then our outer reality changes, because when we change within ourselves, it's a divine law. That outer reality must change. Mm-hmm. And that's how we can really create a completely different story than the one we may currently be living, as I'm sure you are already aware of.
You know, chapter 5 is called Healing What Hurts, Learning How to Transform Your Karma. Now, personally, I think it might be easier to transform it than to actually figure out what our individual karma is, because lots of times we stumble through life, oftentimes missing the life lessons that we need to acknowledge in order to move on. So it sometimes it gets a little crazy, like a dog chasing their tail. So they're there, we miss it, and then what? So So let's talk a little bit about that chapter.
So Marla, karma is just, you know, according to the angels, it's just our homework. It's what we haven't finished, whether that's, you know, it's usually in a prior lifetime. So whether that's truly that we didn't get our homework finished, or we signed up to take on some global homework for humanity, which many, you know, old mystics love to do. We can't seem to do enough transformation. We sign up for it before we come here. So, you know, the answer is love. The answer is to bring love in where love has been missing. So how do we recognize our karma? How do we recognize what our homework is? Well, we look at what's happening in our lives right now that's making us feel miserable, that's not making us feel happy. And then if we observe that and we go, wow, you know, I'm just not happy. Well, that's your karma right there. It's right in front of you, just like your school books would be sitting on your desk. And so we can put it in violet fire, or we can use the other chakra energies that the angels talk about in Lessons from the 12 Archangels. We can transform it and we can change it. And how do we do that? We learn from it. The main thing of transforming our karma is to ask a question, wow, what am I supposed to learn from this? So whether it's our car breaks down or the water heater goes or our lover leaves us, yes, we're human beings and we're going to go into that place of despair. But once we calm down, what the 12 Archangels really encourage us to ask is, what do I need to learn from this experience? Where is love missing? You know, where, and that could be, where am I not respecting myself? Where am I not honoring myself as a child of the divine? You know, where have I given my power away? But it comes down to, well, what do I need to learn here? And when we ask that question, that's when the answer is going to flow right through our intuition, and not just through our intuition. You know, I mean, the angels and our guides and our own higher self will make it so loud that we do get the answer. And that's just how it works.
Well, then from personal experience, I must be really deaf, dumb, and blind, because I've asked that many times.
Well, can you give me an example?
Repeatedly, about life changes, about, you know, why I had to go through that, something that, you know, probably wasn't all my doing, but like, you know, some great major change in life. And where someone does you wrong, you end up on the short end of the stick, that kind of thing. And then you're sitting there banging your head against the wall saying, why? I don't get it. What am I supposed to learn from this? And over years, you keep asking the same question. And, you know, in my case, I might be missing it completely, might be missing the answer.
Okay. So if we go with what you've just shared with me, that whether you're using this as an example or it actually did happen to you, but that you felt cheated or you felt that you got the short end of the stick. So, you know, every incarnation is about balancing what is out of balance. So it could be that in a prior incarnation, you got the long end of the stick. And so you need to learn in this lifetime what it feels like to get the short end of the stick. But whether or not that's what you're asked to learn, it's the lesson is always about love. It's always about, how can I bring in love where love is missing so that I can be a conduit of divine love? What can I learn about myself? What can I learn here that maybe I need to ask to be filled up from source with greater respect for myself and greater love and acceptance for myself, so that I no longer continue to bring in the same personality into my life that continues to disrespect me. That could be part of the lesson as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And someone in the chat room also said, is it possible in that example that it was the other person's teachable moment, and I just, you know, was the flotsam and jetsam that went along with it? And it's a fairly good question. It's a very good question. Does somebody else's lesson sometimes affect other people unwittingly, but just
always, mm-hmm. always. We're in this together. We are learning together. So it's that we're never independently learning, meaning, like, let's say that it's the other person's lesson to learn, and so they've learned their lesson. Well, there's always a lesson back for us. And sometimes it's as simple as to learn to love unconditionally, and to learn to love without judgment, and to learn to accept ourselves, and to see, wow, I can really fill up with gratitude that I helped that individual to learn what they needed to learn. And, you know, very often people treat us poorly, or they treat us in a negative way, it has nothing to do with us. It's all about that person and that they are projecting how they feel inside. However, if we've been treated poorly, what can we do about that? Well, we can look and see, is this a pattern in our lives? Or is this something that continues to happen? And that's when we can ask Source to fill us with respect, fill us with unconditional acceptance of ourselves. And we can go up into the library of our beliefs, the most amazing library in our heads, and we can just toss out those books up there that say, I'll be the scapegoat, I'll be the one that's abused, and we toss those books out our left ear into the violet fire ocean below. That's one of the exercises that I love to do with my clients. So, you know, but the big message here is that we're all in this together. We're all learning. And truly, there are no victims. It doesn't mean that we don't get hurt. It doesn't mean that we don't even get crushed sometimes. But when we can transform that and we can learn from it, then we can change it so that we're not hurt again in the future. Truly, we mm-hmm. have the power to do that.
Right, we do. Now, in the book, another really neat thing is that you've got 48 angel messages that have come through to you on many different topics, like death and free will and caring addictions and loving your pets. There's a whole lot. And each has an exercise to do at the end to kind of reinforce the message, correct?
Yes. Well, and it's not just to reinforce the message. It's actually to bring in the healing. When we do these guided imagery exercises that the angels have given us, we change from the inside out. And that's the purpose of the exercises, so that we really do go through that transformation or that experience, you know, whatever they have guided us to experience or to heal or to change.
Yeah, there are 48. It's a lot of different topics, and it's very helpful to kind of look at this and that, because probably, you know, most of them will affect each of us and in some way, or will in the future if it hasn't already. So it's a really interesting section of the book. And then also, you have angel letters. Can you explain what they are? I especially like the one from Gabriel. So tell us a little bit about the angel letters.
Well, so, but just for a moment back to the messages, the messages also, you know, what I love to do is use this book every single day and just say, okay, you know, what do I need to focus on? And I just open the book at random, and oftentimes I will open to a message, and sure enough, that's exactly what I need. Now, to go with this, the angel letters are short, like the messages. They're short, special, little extras, you know, like you'd think of a Pixar movie, and they have those little shorts that go with the movie, and that's what the angel letters are about. And the letter from Gabriel is how to communicate Gabriel style, which means you bypass the ego, and you do that through the angel airwaves. Now, there's other ways to, it's also called telepathy, but it's the wonderful thing about doing this through the Archangel Gabriel is this is when we mean when you want to send a message to someone and you need that individual to really hear you and not interrupt you and not disagree with you. You really need to get that message through, but your feeling is that their ego is going to, you know, just shut down and not listen. Well, so you just ask Gabriel to deliver the message. And Gabriel says, just tell it like it is. Just let me hear it. And then Gabriel will magically make sure that that message is delivered to the recipient in the way that the recipient can hear the truth. So that's a wonderful, that is one of my favorite letters too. And also there's one on depression and pain. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yes?
That's okay. I mean, everybody, there is something for everybody. Everybody's going through something at some point, and it's all pretty much covered in the book. I mean, the bottom line, it's all in there. And it's really interesting how people react to different things. And the teachings, as you're talking about it, and the healing and the energy stuff, it just sounds so simple. It really does. It kind of takes away all the hard stuff around it, knocks down the wall, and kind of humanizes it, for lack of a better expression. When you're getting these messages, you're getting like the 48 messages and the letters. Are you channeling them? Are you seeing? Are the angels visiting you to tell you? I mean, what was the process in writing this book? How did they fit in to help you put the book together?
So when I write with the 12 archangels, it's, and I talk a little bit about this in the preface of the book, it's a little bit like I would say perhaps even writing music, which I have never done. They send through the concept, and then I have to work right with my left brain, which is where our writing skills are and where language is, to be able to record what I hear from them, because they communicate in vibration and they communicate in concepts or sort of in a bigger picture. So it has to come into my brain and I have to get it grounded, and it has to make absolutely good common sense. And then the language itself has to be uplifting and has to be at that vibration of pure love. So it's really, it's a back and forth. I call it, you know, heaven coming to earth and earth having to rise up to heaven, so that by the time I write a paragraph with them, it can be, you know, some paragraphs can take a lot longer than others. It has to have the right resonance and the right feeling. And what does that feel like? It's that I feel very expanded. I feel euphoric. And then my left hemisphere says, and it makes sense. It makes sense. So that's how I write with them. And that's, you know, I do a write a regular column also for Om Times magazine, and I love to write, and I love to write with angels. But it is a process of going back and forth, so because it has to be the truth, and it has to feel clear. And the other thing which you may have noticed, Marla, is that it has to be simple enough that truly a child can understand it. The angels are not into intellectual storytelling. That's just not where they're at. They want it to be basic, digestible, doable, and feel good, you know, so that we actually really feel their love when we read their messages.
Yeah, I would call this book an easy read. It's not something that's going to make you start to sweat and bang your head against the wall.
Hopefully not.
it's totally understandable. So what, and this is maybe not a fair question to ask because there's going to be so many answers here, but what was the most profound thing that you have learned in working with the angels?
Wow, I feel that I learn a profound thing from them every day. I would have to say that they can help with everything. They can help with everything. Even the most, you know, mundane, you know, not watching what I'm doing and bang my knee against my desk and going, wow, that, and just calling on them and asking for pain relief, to having, you know, an epiphany of, wow, this is something that I have struggled with my whole life, and I really, really want to understand it, and I really want to transform it, and I'm really ready to do that. And the awareness of exactly how to do that, just filling my whole body. And that's what I help my clients to do too, is that's my kind of passion, is to work with individuals on their most painful, repetitive, wow, I can't seem to change this in my life, and to work with the 12 archangels to really, you know, bring that truth and that awareness so that it can be changed, you know, that we can use that alchemy and be free.
Exactly. And speaking of clients, we're quickly running out of time, so I want to have you left the opportunity to let people know where they can find the book, and also to please give out your website information so people can find out about you, your services, what you have to offer, that kind of thing.
Well, thank you for that. The easiest way to find Belinda is on my website, and that's www.belindawomack.com. That's BELINDAWOMACK. You can order a copy of Lessons from the 12 Archangels, Divine Intervention in Daily Life, right on my website. If you would like a channeled message from the 12 Archangels, you can do that on my website. If you want to get the most inexpensive copy, that's through Amazon.com, and you just look for the book. Or you can also get the book through my publisher, which is Inner Traditions and Bear & Company. And I love to do private sessions. I'm going to be putting up new programs and teleclasses, which is I teach over the phone in 2016 in the new year. And I have some online classes that are already up there that are great fun. So, you know, I try to have a wide variety of helpful tools available for people. That's what I'm here to do, to serve and to help make life feel more heavenly.
And now they know where to go to find you. And this is perfect. So I want to thank you for joining me tonight and sharing your infinite wisdom and the lessons from the 12 archangels. And please come back at some point and fill us in a little bit more things. It's a great topic, and we probably didn't get to one-tenth of it, right?
Well, you know, it's an ongoing story.
There you go. All right. And I also want to thank everybody for listening in as well. And until next time, everybody, blessed be and merry meet again. Good night.
This has been another edition of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Be sure to tune in next week at this same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2014. Moonlight Hall by Kevin MacLeod, licensed through Incompetech.com.